Lord, before the preaching of the Word of God, and ask your anointing on the preacher. Ask your anointing on the listeners. Open our ears, O God, to hear your mighty word. We've got to know you. We've got to have faith in this dark, dark generation, this intellectual generation that's missing things, Lord. Oh God, and I pray for healing even now. Amen. For a mighty healing. The Holy Ghost, Lord, for your power, Lord, your protection, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Move. Oh God, have mercy. I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. This morning I talked about evolution versus Scripture. Tonight I want to talk about evolution versus Jesus. And sometime I want to talk about evolution versus something else. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Very powerful passage of Scripture. There's more to that Scripture than just preaching about hell and heaven. If they hear not Moses, that's Genesis, that's creation, that's Exodus, Leviticus, and so on, all the books that Moses wrote. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The unbeliever's attempt to ridicule creation and the power of God. Educated unbelievers scoff and ask, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? And then they ask me the question. I've had that question asked to me by these ignorant atheists that need help really badly. But they ask me the question, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? The question doesn't even deserve an answer. It's so stupid. It's so ignorant. I've talked about this before, but I like to harangue on this. I really do, because I don't want anybody to have to face that question and not have an answer. How many have an answer to that question? Everybody should have an answer to that question. A dynamic, precise, scriptural answer. Everybody should have it. Listen, there's a time coming very soon. The day is at hand when people who have been neglecting their Bibles and not reading them day after day and getting an accumulated knowledge which comes from reading your Bible daily are going to get caught off guard and not know anything. They're going to be lost. They won't have answers. We've got to have answers. We have got to have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I'm preaching the Word of God, so that our faith can grow. And we'll be able to withstand all the wiles and the tricks and the deceptions of the enemy. Folks, read your Bible every day. Fill yourself, saturate yourself with the Word of God. Amen. You'll never be able to satiate yourself with the Word of God, but go ahead and saturate yourself with the Word of God. So I have an answer for them, and the answer is simple. That would be a battle against yourself. God doesn't fight against himself. God doesn't contradict himself. It's men that contradict themselves. They can't even agree on the age of the earth. And evolution's supposed to be taught in our schools. Evolution's supposed to be a scientific fact. That is about the most foolish thing I have ever heard in my life. Evolution is stupid. I tell you, it is unscriptural. It doesn't even make sense. It would take a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it would in creation. Amen. I believe what I'm saying. So, the Bible says in Matthew 12:25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself. And if you made a rock so big you couldn't lift it, you would be a kingdom divided against yourself, is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Amen. Then I continue my answer with a caveat, which is, let him beware. Pronounced caveat, I think. And when you read the dictionary, caveat emptor. That's, you're going to buy this house or this thing, let the buyer beware. You purchase or you buy at your own risk. And so you believe what you believe at your own risk. I said to an official preacher, one time he was talking to me on the telephone, long distance. He called me, and I said, well, dear brother, I believe what I believe because I'll stand in judgment for what I believe. And you believe what you believe because you will stand in judgment for what you believe. You don't want to believe what I believe because you'll have to stand in judgment for what I believe. And I don't want to believe what you believe because I don't want to stand in judgment for what you believe. And so everybody has to study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brother, I am not responsible for you. You are responsible for yourself. I'm responsible for what I preach. You're responsible for what you do with what I preach. If I'm wrong, I'll be glad you ignored me. If I'm right, we better listen. Okay. Then I inform them that God can make a stone so big they can't lift it. And God can lift anything they can make or put together. Then they say, what happens when an irresistible force meets an immovable object? All these scientific questions, these educated questions. And my answer is, God is both the irresistible force and the immovable object. So what are you going to do with that? When he hits you, you're moving. And when you try to stop him, he's just going to move on. He's the irresistible force, and he's the immovable object. Listen to Hebrews 12. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Aren't you glad you're in a kingdom that cannot be moved? Something that's stable, something that will stand the winds and adversities of the devil and of the enemy and of all the atheistic educators today. I'm not talking about Christian educators. I love education. But this ungodly stuff doesn't fit with me at all. So faithless, foolish questions like these, under the guise or appearance of educational enlightenment, are only an attempt of Satan to divide us and conquer us. I want to tell you something real good right now. I just got this sitting down the other day, worshiping God, praying, and thinking about things, and it's nothing that you don't know, but it's just It'll come across real good, I hope. I hope you understand me. The old saying is divide and conquer, right? Divide and conquer. Pit people against people. And that's just what the devil does in marriages. I'll tell you, in the marriage counseling that I do, I have to say over and over to people, honey, he is not your enemy. Sir, she is not your enemy. The devil is your common enemy. Now get your act together, work together, and fight the devil. Don't fight each other. Amen. That's not my tone of voice when we're in my office talking to people. But I'm preaching now. That's just the way I feel. You know, divide us and conquer. That's what the devil's doing with a lot of marriages. He's dividing them. Getting a husband to fight against a wife to fight against a husband, and divorce. Sever a marriage. See, God is one. Therefore, God cannot be divided. How do you like that, honey? Aren't you glad you're oneness and not two-ness or three-ness or four-ness or something else? I'm glad I'm a one God apostolic Holy Ghost tongue-talking baptized believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, this is why Satan is so terrified of Jesus. He can't divide him and conquer him. How you like that, huh? Praise the Lord. Listen to James. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble because they can't divide him because God is one. The devils also believe that there is one God, one God, one God. Somebody shout, one God, one God, one God. Amen. There is one God, and the devil can't divide him because he's one, not two, not three. Hallelujah. And so the devil trembles, and I'm glad I don't have three gods. I've got one God, and I know his name. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. The theory or the doctrine of evolution has divided Christians, believe it or not. We have Christians that go to university from a church, and they've never been taught on evolution, and they come out believing in evolution. And when they believe in evolution, believe it or not, they stop believing in Jesus. You cannot believe in evolution and Jesus, like this geology teacher told me she did. And it sounded like I was saying something nasty to her, that you can't be a Christian and believe in evolution. Tell me how you can. I talked about it this morning. I want to talk about it again and maybe again. But some Christians want to look and sound intelligent. They really do. Peer pressure. They were interviewing a 104-year-old lady, and the interviewer said, what is it you like best about being 104 years old? She just immediately answered and said, no peer pressure. Some Christians want to look and sound intelligent so they won't have any peer pressure. So they take the side of what they think is indisputable science. Right? Okay, 1 Timothy 6. Oh, Timothy, now here's the apostle's instruction to Timothy. Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Some of you have been to college. Some of you have been introduced to the false doctrine or theory of evolution. It's not even worth being called a theory. I'll tell you more. Okay, profane. Avoiding profane. That word means heathenish or wicked. I'm talking about from the Greek here. And vain babblings. That means fruitless discussion. Isn't that good? Vain babblings, fruitless discussion. This is from the Greek. Oppositions, antithesis, and it means a conflict of theories. Science means knowing or knowledge. Falsely so-called. You know what that means? Untruly named. See, it's a lie. That stuff they call, a lot of that stuff they call science is nothing but a lie. It's a lie. That is not scientific to say, bang, big bang, here I am. Oh my, I got so much to say. But The theory of evolution is science, falsely so called, and is in direct opposition to the Word of God. Evolution, the theory that all species of plants and animals develop from earlier forms by hereditary transmission of slight variations in successive generations. Evolve means to develop gradually. Why is evolution so popular? Has anybody wondered why evolution is so popular? Evolution became popular because evolution is the only alternative left if one refuses to believe in or consider God. That's all that's left. That's all they can do. Therefore, to me, evolution is the most arrogant teaching of all. I'm blasting it because your faith in Jesus Christ hangs on this. You cannot believe in evolution and the Bible. You cannot believe in evolution and Jesus. Amen. So allow me to make some of those bold statements. You can't believe in evolution and creation. You can't believe in evolution and the Bible. You can't believe in evolution and Jesus. Therefore, you can't be saved if you believe in evolution. Now, that's strong, isn't it? Oh, yeah, but, Brother Tanberg, you're out of your tree. I mean, you can't be saved if you don't believe in evolution. Look at all the good people that believe in evolution. Yeah, look at all the good people that don't believe in Jesus. Look at all the good people that are atheists. There are some atheists that would do more for you than some fellow Christians would. Why, they'll light your cigarettes for you and pour your beer. You can't believe in evolution and be saved. I want to make that a point. It is so important to believe in creation. You can't read, you know what? You read the first verse of the Bible, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Mike Griffin brought a family Bible to church one time. I'll say it. It was a family Catholic Bible. He brought it to church, and he demonstrated before us. He read the preliminary notes before you get into reading the Bible, before you read in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and he read it to us. This is, I don't know how long after he got saved, but he said he started reading to the whole church, and how many remember that? Good for you. Some of you have good memories, okay? He read it to the church at that time, and it said, Adam and Eve, a myth. The Garden of Eden, a myth. This is all a myth, 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 myth. The whole book is mythology. Well, when the rain fell 40 days, they mythed the boat, didn't they? They and drowned. You can't mythologize all of that in the Bible. Adam and Eve were real people that God really made. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. In our text is that and he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's how strong this evolution theory is. Moses wrote Genesis 1:1. Moses wrote the rest of the book of Genesis. Moses wrote the whole Pentateuch, all five books of the Pentateuch. Listen to what Jesus said about Moses. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus said in Luke 24:25, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. When Moses wrote, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, he was talking about Jesus Christ. Just hadn't gotten that far yet. Praise the Lord. How many believe that Jesus is God? How many excited about knowing that? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In Luke 24:44, he said, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalm and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Bible, friend, is a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a book about the devil. It's not a book about you or me. It's a book about the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. He's the primary subject. That's the main course right there. Jesus. Hallelujah. John 5. "How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me." This is crucial. This next verse that I'm going to read, verse 47, John 5:47. It's crucial. And I want to make a major point tonight, a very important point tonight. So keep listening. "But if ye believe not his writings," in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. "If ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" If you don't believe in creation, you will not believe Jesus Christ. He said so. Jesus himself said so. If you don't believe Moses, you won't believe me. Do you know that Jesus had all the confidence in the world in the prophets? He revered the prophets so highly. The prophets and their words were so powerful, were so accurate, were so positive, that Jesus Christ himself, when he came to earth, had to fulfill every word that the prophets spoke. He was obligated to it. The Spirit of Christ was in those prophets, which did prophesy of these things. Whew. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll preach on that. I'll preach on that sometime. Amen. I digress, as you know, every now and then. They're pretty strong words from the precious lips of Jesus, aren't they? Amen. We have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The faithless and unbelieving demand proof. We are intellectual, we are intelligent. Don't insult my intelligence without having proof. Creation. Well, I'd like for them not to insult my intelligence for not having proof. Bang! Wow, here we are. They demand proof. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here is a point that I want everybody in this church to get. You'll be able to have peace in your soul when you know this answer. I have prayed and wept over these things. Listen to me. Please listen. Jesus validated it. That's my caption here. What did he validate? He validated the creation of God as opposed to evolution. He said in Mark 10:6, "From the beginning of the creation." Jesus validated Genesis 1:1. Jesus validated, confirmed what Moses said, okay? From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. See there? Okay. Jesus validated the story of Jonah and the whale. He talks about it. He talks about it in the scripture. And I'll tell you, I'll read the scripture to you, but in Jonah 1:17, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." And in the New Testament, it talks about the whale. Well, now these scientists will come along and read the Bible, and they'll say, "Nonsense! A fish couldn't swallow a man." And even Bible commentators will sometimes go to the trouble to say that there were certain sharks that could swallow a man. Not a whale, but a shark. Certain sharks could swallow a man. And they'll give historical incidences of it. And I've read those incidences. I have read where this man was bleached in his body, his face, his hands, everything, just white. From being in the belly of a shark. But anyway, don't worry about it. The scientists are thinking wrong. They don't read well. The Bible says the Lord prepared a great fish. Now, if the Lord prepared it, let me tell you something. He could prepare a minnow and it could swallow you up. Praise God. Amen. Be the biggest minnow you ever saw, but praise the Lord. Somebody smile. I'm having fun. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to Jesus' validation of the story of Jonah and the whale. That preposterous story that a fish could not swallow a man. Scientific impossible. Okay. Here, Matthew 12, 38 through 40. Just three verses, takes care of the whole thing. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he, wisely, answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And Jesus didn't make a mystery out of it. He just said, As Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Good day, gentlemen. I just live in the story. I don't know what Jesus did. I could just see him answering them. And, good day, gentlemen. Hallelujah. He validated the story of the universal flood. Now, some people say it was a local flood. Well, they're local because it was a universal flood. The highest mountains on the earth. If this is over your head, let me tell you something. You better get it in your heart. You better get it in your heart. Because I feel a testing time coming on the scene. I really do. The universal flood. And it was in the day, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Some people don't believe in the flood. Jesus did. Don't you want to believe what Jesus believed? Don't you think you'd be safer believing what Jesus believed than what a bunch of scientists, falsely so-called, believe? Oh, you better believe. My mind's made up, honey. My mind's made up, friend. Really, amen. I'm going to believe what Jesus believes. And Peter says in 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What's their problem? All things don't continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Wow. So all things don't begin, continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. How many believe that's going to be a local fire? Same word. If it's not going to be a local fire, it wasn't a local flood. A universal flood and a universal fire, because the same word declared both. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I've often wondered if it makes them feel safer not to believe in the flood. Because if the story of the flood is true, then the story of the fire might be true. And if we don't get right with God, we're going to get hot. We're going to burn. Think about it. Isn't that why men choose, we talked about today at the table, not to believe in God? See, if I can believe there's no God, then I can believe there's no judgment, then I can believe there's no hell, then I can believe there's no punishment for sin, then I can live the life I want to live and do all I want to do in this life and not have to answer to anybody. So don't tell me there's a God. I don't want to go to judgment. I want to live in sin, have the pleasures of this life. Well, that's, you want to believe, you saw the cartoon, the picture? I saw this skyscraper. And the guy jumped off the roof at the top of the skyscraper. I mean, many, many scores of floors. And he fell off, and he was just whirling through the air, smiling big. And somebody was looking out the window on about the 50th floor, you know. He said, how's it going? He says, going good so far. You know, there's going to be an end to that fun. He didn't have a parachute on. He's going to land, and he's going to be mush on the cement below. But why? Why do they choose not to believe in God? They're fools. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Here's the answer. The following words. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. They're looking for an excuse not to believe in God. They fight, they'll argue, they'll debate anything, not to believe in God so that we can have fun, live in sin. But oh, if they knew the reward for their iniquity. Educated unbelievers don't believe in hell, yet Jesus confirms the fact of hell's existence. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire. This is Jesus speaking, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Wow. Hell in the Greek is a name for the place of everlasting punishment. What about Sodom and Gomorrah? Oh, they don't want to believe in Sodom and Gomorrah. I even heard a preacher, the Billy Graham of Canada, I believe he was. Forgot his name, but it was at Regis High School when I was pastoring in Thorpe, Wisconsin. We stopped by and listened to him after we finished our afternoon church service at 3 o'clock till about 9 o'clock. 6-hour church services in those days. Remember those days? Pray. We got some Thorpe people here today. God bless. Let's welcome them to church here today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'll never forget those nearly 2 years up there at Thorpe, Wisconsin, the revival that we had, the bodies of conscious people laying all over the floor, and people getting the Holy Ghost right and left, going down the basement, and I don't know what we call that tank, but we baptized them in the musty basement down there, and then we painted it and things like that. But I had a wonderful, wonderful time there, some of the greater days of my life. Amen. And it says, I'm saying that Sodom and Gomorrah, this guy, he's preaching, and he says, and he was proven scientifically how that a person could turn into a pillar of salt. And I thought, you don't need to prove that. You don't need to prove that at all. I don't need scientific proof if I already have 3 words from Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. That's all I need, 3 words. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, that would be an awful, awful scripture to believe, wouldn't it? Because fire and brimstone is talked about in the book of Revelation. It just might fall again. You know, if I believe in it, I might get hit. But if I don't believe in it, you know, it won't hurt me. That's the mentality of some of these people that don't want to believe in God. And it is a choice. Amen. And then Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I want to make now a major, major, major point. I hope everybody gets it. Please listen. Hear ye, hear ye. Behold, attention. The point that I am about to make is extremely important for all believers to understand thoroughly. I can't emphasize it enough. Jesus himself validated, verified, confirmed, established all of these stories as absolute literal facts. And if anybody comes along and tells you that they are not facts, then you are in disagreement with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I don't mean you, I mean anybody. Do you understand that? How many understand that? Oh, praise the Lord. That's my point. If I didn't accomplish anything tonight, I want to accomplish this one thing, that Jesus himself validated, verified, confirmed, established all of these stories, Old Testament's preposterous stories in the eyes of some, as absolute literal facts. Amen. Jesus verified what educated unbelievers scoff at. Who shall we hear? My ears are tuned. My antenna is aimed. Amen. This way. So the big question is, not just whether we believe the book of Genesis to be the Word of God, but do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? That's the big question. Because if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we will believe His words. Oh, give me your attention, please. I'm almost done. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, Jesus didn't say whosoever shall be ashamed of me, period. He said whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Not just the person Jesus, but the words of Jesus. Are you ashamed to say? Am I ashamed to say against the teaching of so many professors? Am I ashamed to say that I believe in creation? I don't need friends like that anyway. Amen. Praise God. Ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus will not be separated from his word. He and his word are one. Jesus is the word of God. And let me say this again, just in case somebody didn't hear it. You will only love Jesus as much as you love this Bible. You can't love him any more than you love this book. That's what's wrong with some of these popular, exciting denominations. They don't know anything about the Word of God, but they're just worshiping the Lord all the time and all of this. But there's no Word of God to keep them. He's come for the good times. They can dance. They can run the aisles, baby. So can I. Praise the Lord. But Jesus will not be separated from His Word, and you will never love Jesus more than you love this Bible, this Word. That's a shocking statement, isn't it? No, no. Brother Tamrick, you're wrong. I love Jesus, and I hardly get time to read my Bible. No, you're wrong. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Wow. You know what that means? That means you don't drive your car, you don't do dishes, you don't go to work, you just meditate in his word day and night. No, that means when you're at work, you meditate in his word. That means if you skim through the newspaper, you got all the answers to society's problems in this word because you're meditating on the word. That means when you're doing the dishes and the pots and pans and washing the clothes and ironing, you're meditating on the word day and night. You know what it says? His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm telling us, folks, we got to fall in love with this book. We have got to fall in love with this book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you're too busy to think about Jesus, you are too busy. If I'm too busy to think about Jesus, I am too busy. Amen. He that rejecteth me, Jesus said in John 12:48, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. See, you're not going to be loved by you're not going to be judged by how much you say you love Jesus. If you love Jesus, the bumper sticker says, toot, toot, honk your horn. They came out with a sequel to that bumper sticker and said, if you love Jesus, pay your tithes. Praise God. Some people, they're not ashamed of Jesus, but they're ashamed of his word. Come on, how many with me? Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Amen. I'm glad for the word of God.
Let me read John 12:48 again and finish it this time. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. See, you're not going to be judged by how much you say you love Jesus or by your testimony of I love Jesus. He says here, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. we better get acquainted with this word, because this is what we're going to be judged by. If he says don't do this, we better look that up and find out what it is. Because whether we read it or not or know it or not, ignorance is... you're still guilty. How did I say that now? Ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking the law. You're supposed to study the law. You're supposed to know the law. Just give your 14-year-old kid keys to the car and tell him to go to the grocery store, or tell him to go to Madison and pick up something for you. Let him get in an accident. Let him get caught. He'll suffer what the penalty is for breaking that law. Thou shalt have a driver's license. Okay? So, it's the word that's going to judge us. Not our mouth. Not our words. But his word. Praise God. Okay. And Jesus gave us his word. He gave us his word that the biblical account of creation and the story of Jonah and the whale and the universal flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's wife turning to a pillar of salt are all true, real, and literal. So the question of creation versus evolution boils down to whether or not I believe in Jesus Christ and his words. Took me a long time to say I'll get to that point, didn't it? Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words. Many do not believe. The book of Isaiah starts out, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's almost like the prophet is weeping when he says that. And then I wonder if Jesus isn't weeping when he says, Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Faith is fast fading from earth. Faith is... people are being spoiled of their faith. They're being robbed of their faith. Sitting around, watching televisions, running around, having pleasure and fun. Just can't get enough. Some of us can't get enough of this. Praise the Lord. That's the way you want to be. Shall the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? But we believe, and we are causing the heart of Jesus to rejoice, because our faith is pleasing to him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I read this morning. I want to read it again. Jesus rejoices when anyone learns his identity. Let me read it. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. I think that's talking about Godhead, don't you? And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. We're a blessed people to know that Jesus is God in flesh. It's time to worship him, isn't it? Amen. Why don't we stand?